The first scripture reading is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, verse 22, and verse 31 on page.
I'm sorry, there's a typo there. It should be 22 through 31.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
I didn't practice that part. All right.
No,
it's in the Old Testament, page 557. Okay. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, and at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live." The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs and abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth when he had not yet made earth and fields or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race.
I apologize for not correcting that typo beforehand, Chris. I am sorry. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to John. It is the 16th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Let us listen anew to the stories that we know. Jesus is speaking. "I have much more to tell you, but you can't bear to hear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, she will guide you into all truth. She won't speak on her own initiative. Rather, she'll speak only what she hears, and she'll announce to you things that are yet to come. In doing this, the Spirit will give glory to me, for she will take what is mine and reveal it to you. Everything that Abba God has belongs to me. This is why I say that the Spirit will take what is mine and reveal it to you." May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. As a child, the question quite often posed to me when it came to ice cream was strawberry, chocolate, or vanilla. Those were the options. There was nothing more. We avoided, or at least I avoided, all the reds, yellows, and green bell peppers, opting instead for ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise. We played rock, paper, scissors to decide who got to choose whatever was next, whether it was a team captain or, the likes. When we got to school, we learned our primary colors: red, blue, and yellow, only to fight with cayenne, magenta, and yellow as adults in our printers. In math, we learned length, width, height. In science, it was solid, liquids, and gas, or earth, wind, and fire. And it was during my musical awakening time that I learned that earth, wind, and fire could also be a really good musical group. In English, we learned about the beginnings, the middles, and the ends, as well as Athos, Porthos, and Aramis. So are you getting the nudge of the theme today? As the Count would say on Sesame Street, today is brought to you by the number 3. Today is Trinity Sunday, and these are examples of triplets that we probably don't even give second thought to. Triplets that are easy to explain, except for the ink in your printer and the subtext of the Three Musketeers. But those are secular examples. And as we are in church, perhaps we should look at some sacred biblical examples of triplets. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. James, John, and Peter. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have the three wise men that bring frankincense, gold, and myrrh. But we also have triplet stories, right? There's the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. There's the three temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, as well as Peter being asked, "Do you love me?" three times by Jesus. Peter denies Jesus three times on that last evening before the rooster crows 3 a.m. He denies him. There are 3 days in the tomb. In the gospel, according to Matthew, we hear, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." In 1 Corinthians 13, it is all about faith, hope, and love. The greatest being, love. Micah, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. Again, these are things that we can understand, people, places, thoughts that more or less we can articulate and engage with. That is to say, they are not as confusing as talking about the Holy Trinity. To talk about the Trinity. One God in three persons, holy three in one. Now to note, Trinity Sunday is technically just a Christian festival, and it's widely celebrated by us in the Western churches. It is always the Sunday after Pentecost, so again, it is a set day. It is 50 days after resurrection. It celebrates the mystery of faith and unity and the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and as I grew up, it was the Holy Ghost. We now say the Holy Spirit. The concept, though, the concept and the theology behind it really comes, though, not out of the Bible, but out of a bunch of men arguing some 400 years after the early church on what church is supposed to look like. Do we talk about God? Do we talk about Jesus? Do we talk about the Holy Spirit that comes down? And believe me, there are lots of councils and treaties and worms that go on talking about the Trinity. I have books in my office if anybody ever wants to read about it. But the closest biblical references that we have to it are two separate verses. One comes from Matthew chapter 28. It comes from the Great Commission. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Those are our baptismal words. And then in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, as he's closing the letter, he says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Those are the only two big places that refers, there's a few other little ones, but those are the two places where we actually get three entities spoken of all together. So today we gather to wonder about the Trinity and to celebrate God's love for us in all the shares and all the ways and in all the means that the Trinity manifests itself to us. We gather to wonder, not to explain, not to contain, but to wonder, because that is the only faithful way that we can speak about the Trinity. The holy mystery of God, who is one and yet dances as three. We have heard the familiar words, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They echo the ancient creeds, those baptismal waters, the whispered prayers that we hold ourselves when we pray. Right? When we pray sometimes to God, sometimes to Jesus, and sometimes the Holy Spirit. They form the bones of our beliefs, words that we know, and yet together we wonder. Seminary class that week was very lively as we were in our soteriology class and we're trying to talk about the Trinity and all of the words that we used from different faith traditions coming together, talking about salvation, soteriology, and the Trinity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So some of the words, many of the words that we grew up with are Father, which is the source of all being, Son, the Word made flesh, and Spirit, the breath that gives us life. It was there in creation. It helped separate chaos. It was what was breathed into that first Adam out of mud and dust. Still others speak of the Trinity as lover, beloved, and love itself. God is not a distant monarch, but an eternal relationship. It's not just doctrine, it's divine poetry. God is not static, God is extremely dynamic. And God is not a triangle, but a circle of grace. We do not speak of the Trinity as a circle of sorts. If you see a symbol of the Trinity, it is generally three interlocked circles, almost like a Venn diagram. And that is the symbol. Sometimes they're triangles, but they're very soft-edged. That is the symbol of the Trinity, interlocking circles. But I invite you to look around you, beyond these walls and hearing these words of what the Trinity is, because all of creation whispers Trinity. The sun shines, S-U-N, shines, like the creator, like the source. The light reaches us, like the sun, S-O-N, showing the way. And the warmth wraps us, like the spirit, unseen and extremely real. Or think of it as water. There is falling rain. There are flowing rivers and there is rising mist. One essence, it's all water in three different forms. Just like God. Always one, always moving. But this is not today just a lesson in metaphors. It is a lesson on the Trinity. And the Trinity matters because it shows us that God is at the very core relational. God is not just a being. God is being with. Abba, God, Father, Father with the Son, Son with the Spirit, Spirit with Abba, God, Father. It's a holy community. It's all bound up by love. And if we are made in God's image, then we too are made for this relationship, for giving and receiving, for listening and loving, for dancing the steps of community. So what does it mean to live into and with a triune God? It means that we are called into this holy relationship, into the rhythm of grace, into a life where no one is isolated, where no one is forgotten, and where no one is complete without the other. We need each other to be able to get through this world. There is faith, hope, love. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly. It's all relational. It means we say yes to a God who is not just powerful, but personal. It's not just high above, but beside us, within us. God beyond us is the mystery. God beside us is Christ. God within us, the Holy Spirit. In the United Church of Christ, we affirm that God is a still speaking God. And on this Sunday, the Trinity reminds us that God is still speaking, that God is still in relationship, a sacred, loving, and ever-flowing dance between Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer. In today's passage from the Gospel of John, we catch just a glimpse of that dance. Jesus says that the Spirit will speak in what she hears. The Spirit will glorify the Son, and the Son receives it all from Abba, the Father. Abba, Father, shares it with the Son, and the Spirit reveals it to us all. It just goes around. three in one, one in three. No one acts alone. There is no hierarchy here, only holy mutuality. Each person of the Trinity listens, gives, shares, receives. It is cooperation, not competition. Community, not isolation. It is a divine relationship. And is that not what we are called into? What we are called to be in this divine relationship. God is not a distant God or a God of domination, but a God who is with us, Emmanuel. That's what we say at Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us, companion, advocate, a God who creates, redeems, and sustains, God the creator, God the liberator, God the holy presence. The Trinity is not meant to be a riddle. It is meant to be how to shape how we live. If God exists as a relationship, then shouldn't we as well? If God is not alone, then neither are we. If God listens deeply, gives freely, and loves generously, then our calling should be to do the same. The Trinity reminds us that we are made in God's divine image. The Trinity reminds us as well to live into that, to listen deeply, to give freely, and to love generously. The Trinity shows us a better way. Shared life, sacred balance, holy harmony. So on this Trinity Sunday, let us stand in awe of the mystery, not to control it, but to be formed by it. Let us worship the God that is beyond us, the creator of all, that is beside us, the Christ, Jesus, who walks with us, and within us, the Spirit that stirs and sustains our souls. We live in a world that is so divided. Turn on the television, radio, pick up the newspaper, and we see a nation so deeply polarized. It's a dichotomy of either or, us, them. And to be honest, I could have made that list a whole lot longer, but every time I do so, I break down in tears because it hurts that we do not live with a triune God, that we do not actively engage in that, that we don't have a shared life and a sacred balance and the holy harmony, that we're led to believe that this is the way life is when we know in our hearts that it's not. So again, let us worship a God that is beyond a dichotomy, a God that is triune, a God of love and care and hope, of faith and hope and love, of doing justice and loving kindness and walking humbly. And may this God, this three in one, this one in three, call us into the same sacred dance of listening, of loving, of living together in divine community. Because we can't do it alone. So in the name of the Creator, in the name of the Christ, in the name of the Comforter, may it be so every day. Amen.